Hi, I'm Phil Palucha from Billionaires in Boxes, and you are about to enjoy an interview by Eric from the Kingdom ROI. Eric is one of our hand-selected guest hosts, and you're about to find out why.
Welcome to the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention Show. I'm your host, Eric L. Dunovit, the Kingdom ROI strategist. Families and businesses hire me to create, grow, and protect generational wealth by discovering that what they do in their family's living room matters more than what they do in their boardroom or advisor's conference room. On this show, I'm here to tell the stories of families and business owners who recognize that they didn't have a growth problem, they had a relationship and priority problem. We'll hear stories and the journey these families who recognize that business and financial growth weren't what mattered. They know that their relationships and priorities is what's going to determine their outcomes. So stick around to hear the hardships they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the wisdom they wish they would have known along the way. Each story captures the blessings and the struggles of pursuing return on intention instead of return on investment. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 40 minutes where we take the world's broken mindsets and systems and turn them upside down. Everyone, welcome to the Return on Intention Show. Today, I've brought you another special guest. You know, my passion is to advocate for families to grow and protect generational abundance for at least four generations by exposing the widespread planning illusions and minimizing the destruction of wealth that happens during your lifetime and beyond. And the guest that we've got on today has lived a life with an understanding that to truly achieve abundance, it's not about the next business or financial strategy. It's about acknowledging that what we do in our living rooms matters more than what we do in any conference or boardroom. So I look forward to diving more into the story of their journey. So Doug Nix, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Eric. I'm delighted to be here. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
It is a pleasure for us to be together. You and I know each other a little bit. Why don't you introduce yourself, your family, kind of where you are in the world to all of our guests?
Sure. So my name is Doug Nix. I'm chairman and founder of a mid-market investment bank called Stillwater Capital. We're an office in Toronto, that's in Canada, and Atlanta, Georgia. We are the largest Kingdom-focused investment bank in North America. We have 25 people. I founded that 21 years ago. I have three married children and 11 and a half grandchildren. Nancy and I have been married for over 40 years now. And, life has been quite the interesting journey, to say the least. And I look back and I go, I wish there's things that I knew then that I know now. But that's where we are in a nutshell today. And, passionate follower for Christ.
That's good. I'm going to ask you one more question and then we're going to kind of dive into to more of what God's doing through you. But if you had to describe it, what would you say your superpower
is? Oh my goodness. I'm not sure if you've, Patrick Lencioni, he wrote the book, Five Dysfunctions of the Team. Well, it was, I was at a conference a couple years back and they were at a video clip where he said this, he, showed the six types of working genius. And I'm not sure if you've seen that before, but, I saw that and I go, oh my goodness, this describes me. And so I'm going to just answer it this way. So he, just to give a bit of background, what Patrick said, he said, look, there's typically six areas that people excel in. Okay. Six, the ways they work. So one is wonder. Okay. That's the natural gift of looking, at the possibility for greater potential and opportunity in a situation. Then there's the genius of, invention, which is the natural ability of creating original novel ideas and solutions. And then the genius of discernment, which is going, the natural ability to say that idea sucks or that idea is great. Right? And then the genius of galvanizing, where you can bring people together, get them excited. The genius of enablement, that's enabling people to go and do that stuff. And the last one is the genius of tenacity. So I went through that and I was so taken by it that I sat down with my wife and I said, hey, Nancy, you got to you have to look at this, because there was a constant strife in our marriage for many years that I came up with all these ideas and she thought she had to execute them, right? So it said, if I was to say what my superpower was, setting aside the spiritual life right now, because that's the heart of it. But it's really, I believe that I work really well in the area of wonder, like things like that and not like that, and invention. We have a better way of doing stuff, right? So that was really, those were the things that I think have driven and propelled me to where I am today.
Doug, I love that. I want to step into one question, but I want to step into one place that I don't know that I intended to go, but you've talked about Nancy, you've talked about being married for 40 years. When you look at your marriage, like what are you to date and making it 40 years? What are you most proud of that you guys have done well together?
Oh, I'm most proud of Nancy for putting up with me. she's a caregiver. She's a strong woman, okay, because she's had great faith. One of the critical components of that is we have walked a similar faith journey. Like we've both been passionate about what does it really mean to follow Christ, right? What does it mean to serve an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God? And we have been faithful to a life in Christ, right? And, you know, I'm not saying that we've not had our moments when we were upset with each other, right? And it reminds me a bit of the joke for that. There's a bridal shower and there's a woman who'd been there married 75 years and the soon-to-be bride comes over and says, "Hey, Grandma, you know, you've been married 75 years. Have you ever thought of divorce?" Right? Grandma looks at her and goes, "Murder, maybe. Divorce, no." and I think in some ways, you know, like you just go, "No, we're sticking through it, like through the thin and the thick of it." And that to me has been the bedrock that we were committed right from the day we said yes, that this was a one-way street for us. We were going to stick with each other until the end. And that's in today's world, it's easy to say yes to lifetime commitments that you really don't mean. I'm saying yes to it.
That's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful. As you look back over those 40 years, like where do you wish you would have done better, but it taught you something about being better in your relationship along the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wish along the way I'd been kinder and gentler. One. Number two, I wish along the way that I'd given her more of the benefit of the doubt and that it wasn't that I had to be right all the time. That, you know, like we'll talk possibly about listening prayer. And, you know, I felt the Lord one day when I was in prayer, he said, "You know, Doug, there is no gift of correction, right? Like you're correcting people all the time and you need to be more like me." And I go, "Well, how's that?" I go, "You're wrong a lot and I don't correct you all the time, right?" And I wish that I'd been laying down my life more for my wife than what I've if I could wind the clock back.
Yeah. Well, so let's go. I mean, if God's prompting you, let's talk about listening prayer. What is on your mind to kind of, and on your heart and spirit to share with the audience right now about that?
Okay, well.
And how that guided you.
Yeah, well, let me just kind of back up a bit and give the background. So I grew up in a Christian family. I was, my wife and I, we met at InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. We were involved in the church, but teaching, I was on the board, I was on prayer teams. And then one day in my late 30s, the question came, you know, if Jesus Christ sat beside me in the front seat of my car, would I know him? You know, and I just have to be candid with you. The answer was no, right? I was embarrassed at the time. I was doing all these things, had great knowledge of the Bible, but the answer for me was probably not. So that led me on a journey of saying, either it's real, what I'm believing is real, and I want to learn by the time I'm 40, so I've got 40 years to live it out, and not when I'm 70 to have 10 years to live it out. So I started a series of prayers that moved me along, and it was a difficult, painful journey. I just got to say, there was so much in me that needed to be fixed and repaired and taken off and new stuff put in. Mm-hmm. But along the way, a friend of mine in Chicago said, "Hey, Doug, there is a Starbucks between my house and my office. I stop there every morning for half an hour, read a scripture, reflect on it, and then just ask, Lord, what would you have me know and do as a result of this? You should try that." So it was 11 or 12 years ago that I said, okay, I'm tapping out. I'm going to try it, right? Late October. So I did that. And if I was to point to one thing that has changed my life, it's that. It's changed. There was a time when it seemed like God was out there. Jesus Christ was out there, right? Kind of looking at me. And a passive observer in my life telling me what not to do. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I found out that as I started to delve into listening prayer, that there's I have a father, a heavenly father, who wants to speak to me at every point of my life. If I just sit and listen and ask, all right, Lord, what about this? Yeah. Would you help me understand this? Or Lord, what's going on here? Would you, Father, I'm feeling so beat up today. What would you have me do? What would you have me know? And then I just sit and listen. And then a critical component of that is writing down what I hear. So if I pan my camera over there, you'd see maybe a stack of books about this stick where I've written that down. And I see that as in part as part of my family legacy to my children, to say, here's my father, my grandfather's spiritual life. That's number one. And then number two, I forget stuff really easily. Okay. And I feel like, you know, if the creator of the universe has something to say to me, I probably should write it down because better not forget it. Right. So that to me has been listening prayer and across every spectrum of life. Right. Really cool.
Yeah. What are some of the, maybe, I don't know if critical is the right word, but ones that really were pivotal moments in your life? What are some of the things that you've heard? And I think what would even be cool to know is, like, Doug, maybe that God didn't even do with for like 2 or 3 years. Like, he gave you a word.
I'll tell you one. Fear and anxiety. Okay. So I had pneumonia, went to the hospital. They did an x-ray and the guy, the technician came out and said, "Oh, there's a shadow on your lungs, so we're going to send you for more tests." Now, I hadn't been sleeping. I hadn't been, I was in a heightened state of, in a delicate state, say. So I came home and, immediately, this was a Monday, my mind went, I have lung cancer. So I did the thing that every wise guy would do. I went and looked up lung cancer on Google. And oh my goodness, I have to tell you, I went to this black, black, black place. Now, I've always historically been the guy who's seen a glass is always half empty, not half full, right? Okay. And expecting it's good now, but it's not going to be good in the future. And so I went for further tests, and on the following Monday, before I got the test results, I was there just waiting on the Lord, and I felt the question come to me, Doug, did you enjoy where you were, right? Did you enjoy the blackness of the depression, the blackness of the anxiety, the paralytic impact that had in your life? And I said, no. He said, that's good, because I have called you out of that into newness, fullness of life. And here was the rest of it, Eric. It doesn't change how much I love you, Doug, but you are of no use to me when you stay in that place.
Wow.
Okay. So here's a really cool thing. So I go get the result, and the doctor goes, I actually cried at the doctor's office. He had a grown man crying at the doctor's office. But it was, nothing wrong with you. And I explained what happened. I go, oh, okay, fine. Felt a bit like an idiot. But notwithstanding that, I come home that night, and I was watching the news, and there was, I don't even know what they're reporting on, but the guy was doing the report, the live report from in front of a church that had a Bible verse behind him. And my verse in the morning was, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, you know, in Hebrews 12, where it's because those he loves, he disciplines, so it produces a harvest of righteousness. So that was my morning time when that came out of that. What is on the sign behind the guy in the newscast that night? Do not despise the discipline of the Lord, you know, because those he loves, he disciplines. And to me, that was the start, a radical turn in inner healing for me to move off of that fear and anxiety. And, you know, and the Lord keeps calling, Doug, will you trust me in this? Will you trust me in this? Will you trust me with your life? Will you trust me with your business? Will you trust me with your children? And so so that's one of those radical times that you go, oh man, I wish, Lord, you had set me free from this 20 years ago. Right?
Yeah.
I would have probably had a bit of hair today if it hadn't been for that.
I know your passion for really living an integrated life in all areas, in faith and finance and business and everything like that. I'd love to talk a little bit more about your journey, because so much of the world tells us that we've got the sacred and the secular, you know, the two pieces, and it's not what God intended in his kingdom. And I'd love to know more kind of about how that's impacted you, how that's impacted Stillwater, but also how that's really been, it sounds like God has kind of taken you on a journey to learn that.
Oh my goodness. I grew up in this fundamental Bible church where really, if you had a high calling on your life, you'd go to Bible college and then into full-time ministry, right? And if you didn't, you were, you could go into business, but that had nothing to do with the Lord until it came time to raise money for the church.
That's right.
You know, and then it's a whole different ballgame. But I started going like, how is that possible that I could have a secular part of my life and a sacred part of my life? And I believe it's a heresy that's been wasted upon people who follow Christ, that you're part over here on this day and you're part over there on that day. I believe that we are continually, across everything we do all of the time, what we do is sacred. As we lay our life down for Christ, everything we do is sacred. And so just a little extension of that is the highest calling for all of us is to follow Christ. And then after that, he gives us vocations. He gives us a vocation of being a janitor, a vocation of being a stay-at-home mom, a vocation of being a wealth manager, a vocation of being head of an investment bank. But those vocations, not one vocation ranks ahead of any of the other vocations, right? So we all have that same high calling, but then he gives us vocations, right? And, you know, this finger is not any more important than that thumb. It's different, but it's not more important. And that's how it is in the body. So I looked at that and go, well, if that's really true, if I really believe that what I'm doing is sacred, how does that show up in business, right? And so I formed early on, when I formed Stillwater over 20 years ago, it was formed based on the understanding that what I'm doing is a co-labor in the kingdom of God, right? So I'm co-laboring with Christ. So what does that mean? It means I have a senior partner, right, who has unlimited wealth. Can you imagine that? Unlimited wealth. I have a senior partner with unlimited power. I have a senior partner with unlimited wisdom. And so as I was looking at Stillwater and going, well, what do I do with Stillwater that takes it and starts moving it into the realization and the fullness of what that actually means, right? And I've seen the extremes where, you know, it becomes a kind of a name it and claim it. All of my bank accounts are full, like that prosperity type of mindset. And I'm not taking away anything from people who walk in that. But it's been different for me to say, how do I, as I'm living my life out, or maybe even back up, what I realized is the new type of company that Stillwater is, it starts with the quality of my life in Christ, right? Do I know each person of the Trinity? Do I know God as Father, right? Calvin said, look, the primary purpose of Christ coming to earth, one of his primary missions was to introduce us to God as our Father, right? And you'll see that all through the Gospels, our Father, okay? And then do I have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ as friend, right? And Lord, not to take away any of that, right? But as friend, and do I have a intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit as a guide, right? Because Scripture says, you know, he will lead us into all truth, right? So this comes down to, what do I really believe? So as I'm living that out, do I believe that God is who he says he is? Do I believe that all his promises are yes and amen? Do I believe that he has good plans for me, right? And do I believe that he's a help and ever-present help in times of danger, right? Do I believe that he'll make a path through the wilderness? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that was starting to build out in that foundation in my life, so that I could, as we're building Stillwater, I could be very determined in saying, no, these are the foundations, not just for my life, but for Stillwater as a business, right? Sure. So that's how we started to practically build out our faith life in Stillwater, you know, and, you know, we've made some mistakes along the way, but I'll just give you an example of what some of the things that we did. So listening prayers, we talked about, is really important to me. And the people who I've introduced it to, it's just blown their minds, right? It's changed their life. It's been radically impactful in their lives. So I thought, you know what, it'd be good for us to have listening prayer on our staff, right? And it's interesting, you know, how many Christian ministries don't seem to have the idea of saying it's good for us to have our people well prepared throughout the days. So we did something. I felt it was wrong to ask our people to have a regular quiet time on their own. So what we did is we carved out from 9 to 9:30. We made it available optionally to people in our office to say, there's a half hour of company paid quiet time, and we're encouraging listening prayer. And so, so it is pretty neat. You know, you go in the office and many people are their heads down writing, listening. And then along the way, I wanted to be involved in what they were finding and guide them. But Nancy, the wise one, the discerning one, okay, the gift of discernment, or the genius of discernment, she said, that's a bad idea because, you know what, you're the boss and you can't really do that, Doug, right? So I said, okay, honey. So we hired a chaplain, a W-2, so our chaplain's on payroll. I think he's at 2 days a week almost right now. And he comes into the office and he meets with each person for an hour every second week, right?
Okay.
And the reason we did that is because I really felt the weight of responsibility for the people the Lord had given to me. And it's not just responsibility to be good workers, but responsibility for their spiritual life as well, right? And to provide a vehicle for pastoral care for them. So we've done that. Some other things that we've done in the business, we hired a team of intercessors who pray for our business, and they send us a report at the end of each month. Here's what we prayed for. And some of the stuff's been just like, oh my goodness, that is really cool. Yeah. Praying for protection, for blessing, for intervention. And sometimes we've seen words of prophecy or words of knowledge come out of that properly equip us for what happens in the next few months. So it's really cool. And then we started a giving program out of Stillwater. And you know, when you have your own business, it's not always easy to say, how much do you give? And so we'd listen to Robert Morris. He's a pastor at a Gateway Church. And he has a series called The Blessed Life. And one of the teachings was on giving. And so he said, you know, it's biblical to give out your first fruits, right? So mm-hmm. what we decided, our first fruits were revenue, right? Not profit. Yeah. So Nancy and I, in 2004, we started giving 10% of our revenue, right? Wow. And that was, that was even before we could afford to do it, right?
And right.
And so we started doing that, and you know, Lord opened some great doors for us. We have great clients. We've had great experiences for our clients where where they thought they'd get 20 million for a business. We've got 35 million, right? That kind of, those kind of numbers that take your breath away. And so we've had a really great run in the business. And I wouldn't say that it's always been easy, right? And the reason it hasn't always been easy is because I feel as the Lord gives us increased responsibility in the kingdom, there's an ever increasing call to purity, an ever increasing call to radical dependence, right? And so, if I'm going to be serious about this, I need to be serious with the Lord, right? And so that was the call. And in looking back, there were some really painful lessons I had to learn, right? On self-reliance, on fear and anxiety, on how to treat people, where I fit in the kingdom, and learning to trust. So in that journey, one of the words came repeatedly, and that was in my listening prayer, do not despise the time of preparation. So what I mean by what that meant to me was you're in a season of training to strip stuff off of you, to prepare you, and it's not going to be easy, but don't despise it because it's necessary. So it's kind of like that journey through the wilderness into the promised land. It was, don't despise the time of preparation. And that to me has been really, really beneficial for me.
Doug, I want to camp out on something if we can, because you referenced this, you know, and you've got the difference in like the kingdom mindset of, and again, not an attack, but like the name it and claim it, my bank account is whatever. And then there's the kingdom experience, which has at least been mine. And it sounds a lot like it's been yours. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about it more, which is God's provision has been perfect. Yes. Like his provision has been there, but sometimes the evidence of that requires more faith than the reality of what I'm seeing.
Yep.
Yep. And so then he takes us on that faith journey to where we learn to understand his provision better. Could you talk a little bit about that, especially when you're talking about giving out a revenue when you couldn't afford to, and now you're seeing these other blessings, but what other things have you seen in your journey that really have expressed that?
So I grew up in really humble circumstances, right? Poor kid on the block. And, finances have always been a trigger for me, right? Like, in all candor. And it was, you know, and the perception that, you know, I was a second-rate kind of guy. You're going, everybody's doing better. Their dads make more money. They live in nicer houses. And so it took me a long time for me to feel like the Lord said to me, I've called you out of that grave, you know, into the new life. So a lot of the testing that I've had in Stillwater, has come in the area of lumpy revenue. Okay. So our business is a recurring expense business and not a recurring revenue business. Okay. which is not the right, for a guy who's reasonably intelligent. That's, you go, well, how did I get in that kind of a business model, right? Your business model is so much better, than mine in that one. But that was a question, you know, and, I'll just give you a kind of a recent, this was in 2019. We had a really big project. And as we were coming, it had been delayed and delayed and delayed, like several $1 million fee. And we were devoting our resources to it. but there's no income. That's the way we'd structure that. And there wouldn't be until it closed, and that's if it closed, right? So yeah. I remember in August 2019 or 18, I can't remember exactly. That's why I write stuff down. I was just praying. I said, Lord, you know, things are desperately tight right now. What is it? And what am I doing? What do I need to do differently? So the first word came, Doug, I want you to know that the trials and tests that you go through are not always for your benefit, right? And what that meant to me was people need to see how mature sons and daughters go through difficult circumstances as a witness mm-hmm. and a testimony for them. And I have to tell you how many people after the fact came up to me and said, we were watching what you were doing and it has left a lasting impact on our life, right? And then later that month, there's the last one. We're still in the same position. And I remember sitting down in our meeting room and going, okay, Lord, here we are. And I felt the Lord asked me this question in that listening time, Doug, how do you think the Israelites felt when they left Egypt? The Red Sea was over there and the Israelites were behind them. And I'll tell you, I said, Father, a lot like I feel right now. Okay. and then here comes the question that changes everything. Doug, how do you think the Israelites would have felt had they known what was going to happen when we got to the Red Sea? Right. And I said, oh, Father, that would have changed everything. Right. They would have wanted to run to the Red Sea. Right. They wanted to just get here and get over there. And well, why is that? Well, because that's the point of where you work miracles, Father, where you showed your power. He goes, Doug, I want you in difficult times to run to the Red Sea because that is the point of the impossible. And that is where you are going to see my power at work in your life. Is that cool?
That is so cool.
So that's my run to the Red Sea. Let's get there and see the hand of the Lord at work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the idea. And what I love about what you're doing, I mean, that's the idea of kingdom, right? The name of the podcast is Kingdom ROI, Return on Intention. It's running towards the miracle of what God wants to do.
Yeah.
I love that that's what you're doing in the investment banking space and living it boldly. Doug, we're gonna start to run out of time. We got a little bit of time left. This is such just a beautiful visit together. Is there anything that you wanted to share today that you haven't got to share so far? And I want to leave enough space for that to happen.
Oh, I could talk for a long time on this, but, for people who are following Christ, we've got all these conflicting things going on in our life. One of the questions that really helped me to get clarity on some things is I felt the Lord one day asked me, Doug, why are you doing what you're doing? Right. And so, and I was in Stillwater and the question was, are you doing what you're doing so that you have a platform to talk to other people about how good you're doing what you're doing? Or are you doing what you're doing because you're pursuing me? Right. And that goes across the whole thing. So maybe people are looking at, I'm going to work really hard to leave a legacy. So for example, and the question would be, well, why are you leaving a legacy? Right. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it a legacy of faithfulness of Christ, or is it a legacy to your name and a legacy to your intelligence, to your brilliance and your hard work and all the things that you've done? What is the purpose of doing that? And so for me, my hope is I'm trying to leave a legacy of faithfulness, of having sought and gained Christ.
Amen. That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Hey, Doug, probably one of my favorite questions that I didn't tell you was coming. So in four generations, what do you hope that your great-grandchildren down the line are saying about you? What do you hope?
That's a great question. I'm hoping that in four generations that my grandchildren are walking in a higher level of intimacy and relationship in the kingdom that I was. Mm-hmm. And they're going, we're standing on my great grandfather's shoulders because he laid the foundation of faith for me, for us and our family. And it's because of his sacrifice in his life and the changes that he did that we're able to see. We have experienced through our parents and our grandparents what it really means to be fully formed in Christ.
Mm. Doug, you've encouraged me so much today. You've really spoken to my heart, and I know that it's going to mean a lot to our audience. If people want to know more about Stillwater, if they want to know more about your work and what you do, where can they reach out to you? Where should they follow what you do?
We have a website. It's SWMAA, Stillwater Mergers and Acquisitions.com, SWMAA. Okay. And I'm DNIX at SWMAA.com.
Okay. Great. That's fantastic. Great. Doug, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's always a delight to be with you, Eric. I appreciate the invite. Okay.
Absolutely. Bye. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. You guys all know that I run an invitation-only program that helps families grow and protect generational abundance for at least four generations by exposing the widespread planning illusions and minimizing the destruction of wealth that happens during your lifetime and beyond. And I've got several tips and examples that can help you grow your wealth by discovering you do not need another business or financial strategy. What you need is to acknowledge that what you do in your living room matters more than what you do in any conference or boardroom. So please connect with us at kingdomroi.org for more information. As always, it has been a pleasure being with you for another episode of Kingdom ROI, the Return on Intention Show. God bless you. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you so much for joining me for the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. If you're a business owner or a family who recognizes that what you're doing in your family's living room matters more than what you do in boardrooms or advisors' conference rooms, you're open to sharing the ups and downs of the journey and would like to be a guest on the show, then I would invite you to apply by visiting our website, www.kingdomroi.org.
Thank you for enjoying this content by Billionaires in Boxes. If you would like to be a guest or a host, be sure to get in contact with us at billionairesinboxes.com.